Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is a portion of the epistle lesson as written in the book of 2 Timothy, the second chapter. We pick up at the 8th verse. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord given to us on this blessed morn. Please be seated. Remembering and the military have been battle cries in America for a very, very long time. For example, on April 21st, 1836, the Texican Army, under the command of General Sam Houston, attacked the invading army of General Santa Anna. And in the Battle of San Jacinto, the attacking Texicans were heard calling, "Remember the Alamo! Remember the Alamo!" And the battle was over in 18 minutes. After the attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, the day that will always live in infamy, a film was released in May 1942, and as you can remember, the title is just that, Remember Pearl Harbor. As American soldiers crossed from Kuwait into Iraq in March of 2003, the battle cry, our battle cry was, Remember 9/11. Remember. Yes, we Americans remember. But we Christians must also remember. We must remember Jesus Christ, the one who has died for us and risen for us, the one who is coming again. St. Paul reminds a young pastor by the name of Timothy, as he also reminds each of us gathered here this morning. Remember Jesus Christ. Dear one, our religion, the Christian religion, the one true religion, is a religion of remembering. Remembering that Jesus Christ is always the subject. He is always the subject of our remembering. Since, as you have heard already, with our children already here, we remember what he has done for us. Therefore, we too join in the battle cry. We too join in the battle of remembering Jesus Christ. And we also proclaim today, onward, Christian soldiers. Onward, Christian soldiers, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest enemy of a soldier, the greatest enemy is boredom. It's weariness. In the church, amongst the Christian soldiers, sadly, it's apathy. So it is with us, we Christian soldiers. We also must be encouraged. We must be encouraged to continue our mission, just as the American soldier or any soldier must be encouraged. They must be motivated to complete the mission. You remember and believe what Jesus has done for you. You remember and believe that he was killed for you, that he was nailed to a cross for you, that he rose on the third day for you. As a Christian, we remember what Jesus has done. He has defeated sin, death, and the power of the devil for you. Yet, as you have already heard, with our children. A good soldier will always suffer for the sake of their general, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we suffer in this life, and you're all suffering right now. No matter what it is, each and every one of you has something that you're suffering under. It's a myriad of things that I could stand here and mention one after the other. And whatever it is, you would raise your hand and say, yes, I'm suffering under that. That's because the battle goes on. Satan continues to target you. He continues the war against you. He could not defeat the Son. He could not defeat him. Therefore, he turns his fierce anger against the church, against each and every one of you. He does this by tempting you to deny your general, to deny your Lord, to deny your Redeemer, to deny that Jesus is the one of whom you suffer with and for. Another way that we could say of remembering is that we always constantly keep in mind. As a Christian soldier, you constantly and always keep in mind these very important facts. The first important fact is this, and not only is this a fact, it's a truth. Jesus was raised from the dead, just as Paul writes to Timothy this morning. We remember that Jesus was raised from the dead. The Greek word, as our adult Bible class has already heard, is a perfect passive participle. Jesus was resurrected, and that resurrection is an existing reality, dear friends, right now. It just isn't something that happened back in history, even if some people don't believe it. It's still a fact and exists today. Jesus is alive and reigning at the right hand of his Father. In reality, we also hear today that we too have been put to death. And we have also been raised to newness of life in the waters of holy baptism. It's an existing reality. Right now, you have been put to death in Christ Jesus. And then you were given newness of life. You were raised with him. It's a reality. It's right now. It's just not something that happened when you were a baby or a young adult. It's something that will always be and will never change. The second truth is this. Jesus is true man, a descendant of King David, born of the Virgin Mary. The confession that you just made, dear ones, is the truth. It's the truth that Jesus is the God-man risen from the dead. He is the God-man born of a woman. He is the God-man who was and is and will always be God. So we remember today, and we are encouraged as we remember that Jesus is our one true God, that he was resurrected from the dead and is resurrected from the dead, that he is the true man, the God-man who has fulfilled his and his Father's plan of salvation for each and every one of you. Because Jesus has done all of this for you, Paul reminds us today that even though we may be bound and thrown into prison as Paul was, he reminds us, God's word is not chained. His word is not bound. It will go forth. There is nothing that any human being can do to stop the proclamation of God's word and to hinder the power of this word. Yes, many nations have tried, and they have failed. Many people have tried to prevent you from reading this book. There may be members of your family who says that what's in the pages of this book is just sheer folly. It's a fantasy. It's make-believe. More on that in a moment. But God's word, it's never chained. It's never defeated. It'll never be destroyed. For Jesus himself says that his word will always be. There's a little saying that I once read, and it goes like this. The workman of God may be buried by God, but God continues the workman's work. Yes, the proclaimer may die, but the proclamation will never, ever die. And it will never be bound. Thanks be to Jesus. Therefore, onward, Christian soldier, for the sake of your fellow man. We must have an eye for the elect, just as Paul has an eye for the elect, for all men, women, and children of every nation and peoples and tribe. Our prayer must always be, and our work must always be, the proclamation of the gospel, that they hear the word, that their hearts are converted by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that conversion, they fall to their knees and they confess their sins and they are saved. Yes, we must have an eye for those out there. Even though they say that this book is a book of fantasy, we must continue our prayers for them. We must have a heart for them, remembering that God also created them and he does not desire the death of any sinner. May I remind you, since we're remembering today, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. We too, if we are a soldier of Christ, will be like our leader, and we will have compassion, and we too will proclaim the gospel. We, as did Paul, we must become all things for all people for the sake of the holy gospel. Paul wrote, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the weak I become weak, to win the weak. I become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." All that Paul did, and all that we, his soldiers, must do, the soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ, all that we must do must always be for the sake of the gospel. Therefore, onward, Christian soldier, for the sake of your own souls. Paul now draws our attention to four very trustworthy sayings. By the way, there are very few things in this life today that are trustworthy. I can think of very few. Even friends and family let us down. I'm not going to say anything about the government. It speaks for itself. And there are even members of the church who let us down. There are pastors who let us down. I know this. There are godly people who say one thing and do this the opposite. Sometimes I'm guilty of that and I apologize. For I am too a sinner. No, I am the chief of sinners. But, and yet, I know that we must always stand on the word. And we know that the word is worthy. For Jesus Christ is the worthy Lamb of God. And we are called to remember him. Therefore, Paul writes these four truisms that, dear friends, we would do well to put to heart. The first is this. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we die with him, yes, we will also live with him. We've already described this in your baptism. When you were baptized, you died in Christ Jesus. And then you rose to eternal life as he gave you faith to believe all that he has written and done for you. The second truism is this. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Remembering what our Lord said to us in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Or there will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp of the or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The they is you. So if we endure in this life, suffering all that we must face in this life, and as we continue to endure, keeping our eyes and our hands focused, clinging to Jesus Christ, yes, we will reign with Him. For He Himself will give us that crown of life. Great words of comfort, great words of strength. The third truism, since one and two is true, three is also true. If we disown Him, He will also disown us. Another way to say disown is to say deny Him. If you deny Jesus Christ in this life, on the great last day, sadly, but rightfully so, He will deny you. But whoever disowns me before others, said our Lord, I will also disown before my Father in heaven. I just relate it to the Bible class that Jesus saying that He doesn't know us, for me, still raises goosebumps on my body. Can you imagine your Creator saying to you, I don't know you? Horrible, horrible words from a just and holy God. And actually, they aren't horrible words at all, because they are words of truth. For when an unbeliever turns away, or a Christian turns away, and decides to go their own way, when they deny Jesus, they themselves are bringing their own judgment upon themselves. And the judgment is right and true, that since you have disowned me, says Jesus, now I would disown you, for that is your verdict. That's what you desired, and therefore he that sows will reap. If we are faithless, is the fourth maxim, He will remain faithful. When we speak of God's faith, may I always remind you that His faithfulness is in keeping with His promises. And His promise is to you that He will bless you and that He will save you. Even when we are faithless, faithless takes us back to the first commandment. We are faithless when we place anything above our God. That includes family, friends, material possessions, and yes, even our John Deere's or our red tractors. Anything that you own, anything at all in this earth that you place above God, that proves that you are faithless. Repent. Repent and you will be saved. For He will remain faithful. In your repentance, He will remain faithful and forgive you of all your sin. So, Christian soldier, onward. Onward as we continue the battle. If a person doesn't believe, let that not stop you. Remember what the psalmist tells us. A fool in his heart says that there is no God. That there is no God. It actually takes my words away, because I can't believe that a person would say that there's no God. Because in their heart they know that there is a God. The natural knowledge of God is instilled in each and every human soul and heart. Yet they deny. But for our young people here this morning, even though your teachers or your professors or even your classmates deny what's in this book, let me reassure you, just because they don't believe it doesn't change this book one iota. The promises will always stand. Jesus and His Word will always stand. Remember, you're listening to a fool. Don't join in with them. Just stand on the truth. Stand on the truth that He will bless you and He will give unto you eternal life as long as you remain faithful. Yet these truths, yes, I know, are sometimes hard for us to fathom, sometimes hard for us to understand. But His promise isn't hard for us, for His promise will always stand, just as His word will always stand. And to those of you who hear today, and those of you who hear believe today, you too will be blessed with the joys of everlasting peace and harmony, of the everlasting promise in heaven that you will see your Lord face to face. Therefore, as we close, His promise is this. His promise is that He has died for you. He kept the promise. His promise was that He would rise for you. He kept His promise. His promise was that He would ascend to the right hand of His Father. And there is your great high priest. He would announce to His Father that your sin is forgiven. He keeps His promise. One more promise to keep. One more promise to keep, dear ones. Soldier, He is coming for you. Your Lord is coming. And when He comes for you, you will hear His wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful soldier. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world." And now hear this. Hear this, dear soldier. All your sins in Christ Jesus, each and every one, is forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. Dear Christian soldier, the peace of God be with you now and forever. Amen.